Our gospel reading today is from the 13th chapter of Mark. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." And when Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will all this be, and by what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Be aware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender, puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or that hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be aware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake. For you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or at the cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." Here ends our reading. Will you please pray with me? O Lord, open our eyes to behold your presence. O Lord, open our ears to hear your voice. O Lord, open our hearts to receive your love. Amen. My first thoughts for today were, wow, it's March 13th and we're reading from Mark 13. It's just a weird coincidence that that happened. And some of you, like me, may be feeling a little bit sleep deprived. I got up a little bit earlier than normal because Pastor Pam is gone. Some of you may feel a little off kilter like I do when I got here this morning and realized that my computer wasn't working and I was trying to figure out how I was going to print my sermon. There's that kind of unease. But then I also think about this particular Bible passage because it's placed just perfectly for us. It's this week just before Holy Week, right? We're there. And now, if we were Jesus' disciples, these words that we're hearing today would be heard in that same time frame for them. It would be heard that week before. And those very first words he speaks about tearing down the temple, what is he really saying is going to be destroyed? And a little later, Jesus tells us in our reading to get ready and wait for it. But what are we really waiting for? And when I first read this passage, I thought, wait a minute, we're not in Advent. This particular passage is often read during Advent, during that time where we're anticipating and expecting the first and even that second coming of Jesus. But we're in Lent. We're in this period where we reflect and we search our souls. It's this 40-day period, and thankfully, for some of us, we're feeling like we're really close to the end of it. It's these 40 days where we're praying and fasting and giving. So it's coming. But what is approaching, really? So I thought about me. What am I waiting for? And I realized I have really been waiting a long time for this year to get through. I've been waiting since the end of August when I came off of internship on this path that I'm taking to ordination. And I get back and I'm told, wait for it. And the first thing I have to wait for is that faculty approval. And I finally get that, and then I'm told, wait for it. I wait till December, and I go before my Synod Candidacy Committee, and I get approved. I'm one more step closer, and I get told, wait for it. Now I get to wait till February. Middle of February, I get a phone call. Carol, you've been assigned to Synod 1. You're in Region 1, I should say. You're in the Pacific Northwest, Washington, Montana, Idaho, that area. Aren't you excited? Wait for it. We're not going to tell you the Synod just yet. March 3rd finally comes. Get the call from the bishop. I'm going to Montana! She's all excited. And then I get told, wait for it. She has 2 minutes to tell me that I'm coming to Montana Synod. She's got to get back in the meeting. She's hiding in the kitchen of all places, and the food smells good. This I'll find out in 2 minutes. But she's not going to tell me anything more. So wait for it. Another phone call. So Friday, it's over a week, I finally get the call. And now I understand what's going to happen in the process and a feel for a little bit of what's going to happen. So now I get to wait for interviews. And as I waited, I thought about this. Each time I waited, it felt different, and I had different emotions, and sometimes all of them at once. I got anxious, I got nervous, I got frightened, I got tired of waiting. So I then think, what is Jesus asking of these disciples? What is he asking of these early Christians, and what is he even asking of us? Since the time of Jesus' death and resurrection, people have been waiting for his return. And we have this very odd obsession with the end of things. When is Jesus going to come again? We want to know. When's the end of the world? When's the end of my life? When's the end of internship? When's the end of a job? When's the end of school? We've been focused on all of these ends. Ending of relationships. Since the year 66 CE, which stands for current era, or as many of you will recognize, 80, there have been Christians that saying the end of the world is happening. And Jesus is going to come back in all of his glory. And I did research, so I looked, and I started scrolling on my computer. I can't tell you how often people have been wrong. The end of the world, people are now saying, it's going to happen either in 2020 or maybe 2037. But they also have dates that go further than that. So they really don't know. But this is when they think it's going to end. But remember, these people have all been wrong before. Perhaps when we focus on that end of time, about this thing we can't change, that's what we're focusing on. We're focusing on change. And change is a little nerve-wracking, isn't it? Now, I personally like change, but I know a lot of people don't. You know, you get anxious, you get tense, you get worried. That thing, that change means that something old and comfortable that we like is ending, and something new and exciting and a little scary is beginning. And I also think about things like in change, what is climate change? What does that mean for us? What about this upcoming presidential election? What kind of changes are in store for us then, for the world? And then some of us have personal changes, right? Like retirement, school, moving, getting a new job, just waiting to hear news. And as I look at the Bible study for this week, did you notice that there were no miracles? There were no healings. There were no parables told. And more importantly, I did not hear the word immediately. In the Gospel of Mark, we hear it 41 times. 41 times. And the rest of the New Testament is only there 10. So immediately is urgent for Mark. Something changing. Whenever I hear it, I immediately stop and focus my attention. And I read something by Paul Berg, who's a professor emeritus at Luther Seminary, about this word that appears 41 times immediately. He says, in the Gospel of Mark, the teaching, deeds, and life of Jesus reveal the intrusion of the good news into the human experience. So what is breaking into the world is Jesus. Jesus is leaving the temple this day with his disciples. Now, put yourself in the shoes of these poor disciples. It might be an uncomfortable moment, possibly an awkward moment, because, well, Jesus is just being Jesus, and he's had this tirade where he cleared the temple a few days ago. He got mad at that darn fig tree, and it's now withered and died. He's been telling parables and answering questions put forth to him, and every time he does it, well, you know, those Pharisees and Sadducees and stuff, he makes them look really bad. And just before they leave the temple, we hear that story from last week where this poor widow puts in all of her money. And Jesus talks about that. And he compares her to all of those rich people who put in only out of their abundance. So one of these disciples, hoping to ease the tension, goes, hey, look at those rocks. Aren't they big? And to them, they were ancient because they'd been there for centuries. But Jesus is still not going to have any of this. He is still kind of on his tirade, and I kind of almost feel like he's like at the temple. He's like with them, thumbing his nose at them. And I thought about this, and I did some reading, and scholars say that this particular gospel was written in about the year 60. Remember those first doomsdayers were the year 66? Something big is happening during this period of time. The temple is actually destroyed. The Romans are there. So, three times we hear Jesus talk about this temple being destroyed, but he's really talking about himself. He talks about the destruction of the temple, the sun becoming dark. He talks of the Son of Man coming into glory, and he gives that summons to stay awake. Change is coming, and it's gonna be scary. Doomsdayers point to this passage over and over again, saying, say, the world is ending. But remember, they don't even know when, right? We don't have a day. Mark 13, these first 37 verses, are often called the little apocalypse, because Jesus is speaking of the end of the world, but he's also talking about that future that's just going to lie ahead. But something more is going on here. Jesus is speaking about his death. And I think it's so important to remember this because we're going to be hearing Mark's passion narrative next week when that earth-shattering event that immediately breaks in. It's that crucifixion of Jesus. Soon we're going to witness these disciples being told by Jesus in Gethsemane, stay awake. About Jesus' death. It's It's no longer about Roman rule. It's no longer about any leader that's going to change history. No, the earth-shattering event comes from Jesus that summons to wait for it, the darkening of the sun on Christ's crucifixion. Then we will see that temple curtain torn in two. There we will hear a Roman guard saying, "Truly, this is the Son of God." This is where we see the Son of God in new ways, so wait for it. For me, I love the Gospel of Mark, and the reason why is Jesus seems more human to me. His emotions, he's either really high or really low. He's got these strong emotions. He's passionate. And there is that sense of urgency throughout this entire story of Jesus, his life, his death, and resurrections. So God's reign is breaking in at every corner then, but also now. Now, as Christians, we're not asked to stockpile our goods because Jesus is coming, we're going to live into the future. That's not what he wants us to do. He asks us to do two things. The first is to love one another. Pretty easy. But then it means your neighbor, those people you don't like down the street too, means you need to love them. But the second thing is to care for creation and to care for each other. So think about the ways that you can do that. And we do it a lot here. If you're a reading buddy, you're caring for somebody else. If you're a little league coach or a coach of any team, you're that. If you bring in food for the food shelf, if you volunteer your time at the Dorothy Day, those are all points where we're loving one another. What if there is that kid at school that everybody bullies or nobody talks to? What if you ask them to sit at lunch with you? That's loving your neighbor. That's caring for the world. And when we love others, we are loving God. So Holy Week is coming. Wait for it. Pay attention to those symbols we heard of today as we move into this next week, which is full of watchfulness and darkness, conflict, a temple curtain being torn in two, and that earthquake. The Passion narrative becomes a world-altering event. So wait for it and wonder what will come to us on Easter Sunday. And as Jesus says, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come in the evening or at midnight or at a cockcrow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. Amen.